Today on Compassion Radio.
There are always things that I'm not aware of that I still need to face. So to me, sin is like peeling an onion. You get deeper with it. The honesty comes in whatever it is that you're peeling away right now. You need to tell that story so that the rest of us will be encouraged.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram takes you with him to the farthest corners of the globe, where he spends time with the people who've been called to share the love of Jesus Christ in the mission field. Recently, Bram sat down with legendary songwriter and contemporary Christian music pioneer, John Fisher.
Work out the life God works in you, day by day. It's His good pleasure to see you through, if you simply obey. He'll lead all of the way.
They talked about the genesis of that musical genre, and how it grew and changed as the culture evolved throughout the 1960s and 70s. They talked about the past, present, and future role of the Christian church, how to have an effective ministry, and the importance of being real with the people God puts in your path. I'm Frank Montenegro. Here's the third and final part of that conversation.
What is it like to be an abrasive Christian without being a jerk? That would be my big question for you today. If we're really truly to be used by God to polish, to clean, to cleanse, mm-hmm. to remove mm-hmm. dirt, how do we do that without being the jerks of the world?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think primarily we simply are to be real. We are to be honest with who we are and honest with the process, what we were just talking about. As the treasure in earthenware vessels. And to me, if you're honest about your humanity, your beggarness, then you're going to be who you are. And that may rub people the wrong way. You don't know exactly how that's going to happen. But if you are honest with yourself and honest with others, I think you
sequence have to happen that way. Do you have to be honest with yourself first before you could truly be honest with others?
Yeah, I think so. You have to understand that you're loved and forgiven for who you are so that you don't have any problem being who you are.
Abrasive to others. Let's say you had that bent in your personality. When you go to engage with others, how is God using that as an asset to His kingdom?
Well, I think it connects to people's humanity. And I grew up with a Christianity that you were supposed to be perfect, and that was going to be your witness. And people were supposed to be impressed with your life and want to be like you. What I realized that did, it just created someone who was distant. We didn't connect with people. We were off somewhere else being perfect and trying to make them want to be like us and missing way off, you know. And now I'm realizing that the connection is our humanity and even our sin, even our honestness and the pieces about ourselves that aren't solved yet, the rough edges that haven't been smoothed off yet. They're who we are. I believe that if we're honest with who we are, we will actually be making connections with people who aren't believers. They're going to say, oh, yeah, he's just like me. He's going through the same thing that I go through. Even this whole thing about you slip and you cuss maybe and the world goes, oh, no, you're not supposed to do that. Why? Why am I not supposed to do that? I just nailed my thumb and it hurts. That's what you say when you hit your thumb with a hammer. You know, it's...
And then someone who's observant and serious about the Word of God would say, time out, John. This is Paul saying, let sin increase, that grace may increase. And even Paul himself says, whoa, there's a line we're crossing here by celebrating sin.
We're not celebrating sin. We're being honest about sin. That's all I'm saying. I'm saying we're not hiding it. We're not trying to gloss it over. We're simply being who we are.
We have parading it, though.
Parading's an interesting word. I don't know. If by parade you mean being on public display, I think that's who we are.
Okay.
In the same passage that I was talking about, treasure in earthen vessels, also talks about being led in triumph in Christ, led in a public display.
Okay.
And he even says, who is adequate for these things? Who can do this? Well, The answer to that question is not the perfect person. The person who can do that is the one, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from Christ, who made us adequate as servants of a new covenant. So, yeah, we're adequate, but we're adequate as He makes us adequate in the midst of our real life.
So somewhere between juggling and balancing and all these other crazy contrasts, you're saying that we should not be afraid or ashamed of our real life showing up.
Yeah.
We also need to be careful that we don't celebrate or hide behind the sin as if somehow it's a more powerful testimony, therefore I'm a better Christian than
yeah.
I am because I've got more to talk about. Because there are all kinds of excesses. And I do believe that the Christian, like any other human, is by nature afraid of extremes and afraid of being the extremist and being cast out. And we have a native fear of that. So we want to be on the in crowd all the time. And Jesus is saying the only way to be on the in is to be on the out, because that's where I am ready to receive you. Community. You're talking about a grittiness of people. Mm-hmm. You're talking about a saltiness of people. You're saying, be salty, be gritty, so that the light of Christ can shine through you too, that other part of the
mm-hmm.
metaphor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've got a perfect answer for the methodology to get there.
Mm-hmm.
But I do love and appreciate people. God's enabled me more at this point in my life to appreciate the saltier people in the world without being afraid of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm also less afraid at this point in my life of being called crazy
yeah.
than I might have been as a younger man.
Yeah, yeah. There is a church that I spoke at in Michigan a number of years ago. It was a very interesting lesson that I learned there, because there was a staff member there who was a counselor. He was primarily counseling people with addictions of various sorts. I inquired a little bit more about that to find out that this man was a former pastor of that very church, 10, 12 years prior. He had been the pastor, and he finally had to admit that he was an alcoholic. He had to get out of the ministry and get into an AA program and just rest for a while and get out of all these expectations. And for 10 years, he just worked in business and let God put his life back together again. Lo and behold, he felt called back into the ministry from the standpoint of counseling others who were just maybe coming into something that he had started 10 years prior. He had been there about 2 years as an addictions counselor. And he said, as soon as he put his shingle up on the door of his office, that door has been a swinging door ever since.
Like God had made him for this.
Yeah. But my question is, so suddenly all these people show up. Well, where were they
before?
Before.
Yeah.
Well, they were there, but they didn't have permission. Mm. They weren't able to be honest with themselves because there was no one else who was being honest. To me, it really does start with leadership, to set examples of being real with people and being honest. And all that did was open up the door for everybody in that congregation to do the same thing. I think that's where so many of us are in the church. We've got a tradition of spending too much time worrying about how we look and not worrying about who we are and what do we need and what's going on in our real life.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us. Now, if you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again whenever it's convenient, just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet, and going to CompassionRadio.com. While you're there, check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry, and check out all the other great resources at CompassionRadio.com.
Hi, this is Bram Floria. For years now, many of you have partnered with us to help support the rescue of abandoned babies in Johannesburg, South Africa, through Door of Hope. Thousands have already been adopted, fostered, or reclaimed by family members. But sadly, many have not been so fortunate. Door of Hope has not abandoned these precious lives, and neither will we. In addition to the two baby rescue houses already in existence, Door of Hope, in partnership with Compassion Radio, is now constructing Hope Village, which will feature cottages, a large park playground, a school, a church, a farm, and will eventually be self-sustaining. Kids receive spiritual training and education, along with a marketable skill. Your financial gift will help ensure them a bright and successful future. So please, pray and ask God how He would have you to help. Ask Him to show you what your very best financial gift should be. When you give, We'll say thanks by sending you the Psalms in Color coloring book at your request. It's perfect for anyone, especially someone who wants to show their love for God through colorful, artistic expression. You can contact us right now by calling 1-800-868-2478. Or you can go to CompassionRadio.com on your computer, tablet, or smartphone. You can also write us at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, you can reach us at 1-800-868-2478, CompassionRadio.com, or P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thank you, friends, for your willingness to be a part of what God is doing in the lives of these precious children in South Africa through Door of Hope. God bless you.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
All these people show up. Well, where were they
before?
Before.
Yeah.
Well, they were there, but they didn't have permission. They weren't able to be honest with themselves because there was no one else who was being honest. To me, it really does start with leadership, to set examples of being real with people and being honest. And all that did was open up the door for everybody in that congregation to do the same thing. I think that's where so many of us are in the church. We've got a tradition of spending too much time worrying about how we look and not worrying about who we are and what do we need and what's going on in our real life.
My takeaway, John, is that Jesus is honest with us, not just about our condition, but about himself. And he didn't shy away from hard questions, and he paid for those questions with his life. He intended it to be.
Yeah.
If he was honest with us, we can be honest with him. And in that way, we can be also honest with our family. Although we often take risks that are not paid back well, sometimes we do act in honesty and frankness with our fellow believers and find out we're getting attacked. So
yeah.
Plenty of people that end up in that boat, they're twice shy after that. I think there's a special kind of punishment for those who would drive away those who are honest. I do want to end our conversation on a very optimist and hopeful note, in that there is a future in honesty and in fellowship and in community that is not condemning, but is not lazy or hopeless. I think there's plenty of places where you can go where you're not going to be condemned for what you've done, but they'll never show you a way out.
Yeah.
There are plenty of places that will give you all the opportunities in the world to do something different, but will never give you the solid rock to hang on to while you're trying to make changes.
Right.
I think both those extremes are dangerous yeah. places to be.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about how God's been working in your community, this Catch community, which you've been leading and pastoring for the past few years. What are the people like that are coming to you, and how is God using you and your wife to reach out to these folks?
Well, that's something that I've been really careful about trying to create. An atmosphere of honesty. As a writer, I try to do that through my own writing, and I seek to be as real with my own life and my struggles and my doubts and questions and the things that God is working through me. And I've just discovered that those are the things that work the best, that people respond to. I connect with people when I write like that. We call it where real life meets real faith. That's what we're about, and I think we're seeking to create an environment for that. And so our studies and the things that we work on, I mean, we just finished a number of weeks on the 12 steps. I spent about a week on each one, and I wrote about each one of those steps from a spiritual standpoint. Not necessarily that we're all alcoholics, but, you know, we all are addicted to something. Even if it's just sin.
Keith Miller wrote an incredible book years ago about the sin addiction.
Yeah.
The context for the Christian who thinks they're better than those who are addicted.
Right, right.
And that's speaking truth to power right there.
Right.
The church itself needs to understand that even the church is addicted to some things. And
yeah.
And we can be, as you said, beggars again.
Yeah.
Come back and just say, I have no clue how to get out of this mess.
Yeah, yeah.
These people you're walking through these kind of issues with, this is a, as you might call it today, a virtual church.
Yeah.
And I would say it's a virtuous church because you're talking about the true life-transforming power of the gospel. But these people are scattered here and there. There are sundry folks from sundry places.
Yeah.
What's it like to be a pastor of a distributed church like this?
Well, it's a little hard from the standpoint that there is limited contact with people. We hear back. We have ways in which we're hearing back from folks. We started a church service on Sunday night, and I do it on Facebook Live. And so that people, they can respond back to me. So we have conversation, and I get to know them there. People respond to my emails quite often. They'll send me an email, or they'll make a comment, or send something to me personally. We also have a prayer ministry now, and that's opened up a lot of counseling, because when people ask for prayer, they're opening up their own needs and things in their life that they're struggling with.
And we see the same thing happen in our prayer line on our website.
Yeah.
People listening to this program every day have interesting stories, and something pings their hearts in unique ways each day. I know these are God's divine appointments. When we speak these stories, on certain days that we speak them, somebody's going to get moved, and they're going to send us a prayer request. And that's a great privilege for us as a Compassion Radio team to be able to be involved in that spiritual healing, that spiritual hope, looking for God's provision, looking for transformation or breakthroughs. And we do. We take them seriously. It's a great joy for me to be able to be part of that. And you're making this part of your environment. You actually get people networking together in this as well.
Yeah. So we do here. We have actually a group of prayer warriors. We turn these prayer requests over to, and they're very faithful. They get everybody's email. So they will follow up. If they haven't heard, they've been praying for a couple weeks, they will send them an email. Say, how's it going? And that blows people away. They just...
You remembered me.
Yeah. And so we do have ways in which we can follow up with people, and we can create relationships. And some of those, now, my wife actually has a discipleship group. She has three women, and she's picked them out of the people we've met online, and they spend about 2 hours a week. They have an online group, and they can see each other, and it's working.
There is something special in catching your eye.
Yeah, there is.
And
it's
a joy for me because we've talked, you and I, over the past 10 years.
Yeah.
This is our first time in those years to actually sit face-to-face at a table.
Yeah.
Yet, I consider you a friend over all those years, and you've been so gracious to me. And you remembered me when I was a pipsqueak. You've let me grow.
Oh, yeah.
That's always a joy for any man. I see someone who led before you, look at you, and say, you're a man now. I felt that from you, and it's been a great honor for me.
Oh, great. Beautiful.
So I think that mentorship, just from love expressed over years' times, is a great virtue of anybody who's in leadership and ministry. Sometimes pastors are really afraid to let their congregations change because they don't know what to do next. And I do believe there's real power in those who allow people to grow up in the Lord, loosing them to God's plan for their lives, like turning a child loose in the world. Painful as that is, we know it's our calling as parents. We got to let our kids go do the thing God's called them to do. What else can we learn as we close, John, about what it means to be a community of believers of faith, of transformation, of hope in the 21st century, and be open to be loved by and to love on those gritty, salty people out there?
I just think we have to stay honest. I don't know how else to do it. That's the thing that I've found about faith. It's not just that being honest is something that you should do with your faith. You know, it's not an add-on. To me, it's absolutely key. It's necessary. It's necessary for faith to be real. And if we're not being honest, then...
we're being dishonest.
Yeah. So God's forgiveness isn't getting to where it needs to get in our life. You know, we're not getting down deep enough to our sin. We're not getting healed where we really need to be healed. And everything is much too shallow and surfacey. It's not down into where we live. So to me, sin is like, as long as I'm in this body, I'm going to be dealing with sin. I don't ever get to not sin anymore. It's just not going to happen.
Or to not be free of the possibility, potential, and consequence of sin.
Right, right. But if I'm aware, there are things that God makes me aware of, then there are always things that I'm not aware of that I still need to face. So to me, sin is like peeling an onion. You know, you get deeper with it. And the honesty comes in whatever it is that you're peeling away right now. You need to tell that story. And we need to know that so that the rest of us will be encouraged to do the same thing in our own life.
And it's powerful when it's a God story, not just about us anymore.
Yeah.
I have heard great testimonies of people saying, this is how deep my sin went. This is me, 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 me. And so little of Jesus entered into that story. Mm. And I keep screaming in the back of my mind, but what about Jesus? What's he doing about this? What was it like when you went to him and talked about it? What did he have to say about it?
Yeah.
Because that is just as much of the story as anything.
That's
and
true.
It's the one that's actually going to change me. Your story of sharing what it's like to come up to Christian music is inspiring to me and reminds me how much I love my subculture. But John, it's been the time you've talked with me about the struggles you've gone through and asked me to pray for you that gave me a chance to actually love you in those years, and that was a great honor too. That I cherish, and when we invite others in to help us through that difficulty is when we actually experience true love and acceptance by the person who's hurting.
Mm.
If you allow me to share with you in your suffering or your quandary, I'm honored, and I find my place.
That's great.
You know, in a relationship. I think it's probably pretty true for every Christian out there. They want to know they made a difference, and they can't make a difference in God's life, God's whole and complete, but we can certainly have that opportunity to make a difference in each other's life.
Right. Absolutely.
Thank you for sharing a little bit of this journey, John. I know you have many more years ahead that God's going to use you.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Yeah, I'm praying for that. Give me a final word. What would you tell this generation of believers, people who maybe have come up in the church or are new to the faith, the guy who's seen a lot of generations come through this?
Well, we have a saying at The Catch, which we call grace turned outward.
Hmm.
I really like that because it has two aspects to it. Sometimes we only get the first one, and that is God's grace towards us, which is wonderful. Sometimes it takes us a while before we experience that grace because we've been working so hard to be a good Christian. When we finally give up and realize God's grace towards us. But the other aspect is that when you receive that grace and you realize it had absolutely nothing to do with you whatsoever, then it becomes something that you want everyone else to experience too. And so the process of turning it outward is sharing your life with other people, sharing how you came to know the grace of God. That's where the reality comes in, and that's where the presence of God comes in as well.
Old-fashioned church might call that word indeed. And we in this generation might say in terms of it's your story and your actions. This is the way that God's legal love on the world is through you.
Yeah.
Thanks for that kind word and that gentle word. You've been a very gracious teacher over all these years. And I do commend your work, of course, to this generation of readers out there. I know many of your books are still on Amazon.
Yeah.
This is my sale. So if you're looking up for John Fisher, F-I-S-C-H-E-R, any book I highly recommend. And how many did you print over the years?
12 albums, 15 books.
One of those I know at least was the On a Hill Too Far Away.
Yeah.
It was an important book that we offered as a premium years ago. But there are many other great ones out there. So please look those up when you have a chance to. And give us a shout out for The Catch. How do people find you on the internet?
You can go to just catchjohnfisher.com. Just don't forget the C in my name, F-I-S-C-H-E-R, catchjohnfisher.com. You can sign up. There's a button right there on the top of the page on the right. If you sign up, then you'll be getting something fresh from me every day, 5 days a week.
Thank you for sharing your life, John, and God bless you. Let's sit down together sometime soon, shall we?
That sounds great.
Now, if you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please think about signing up for our email updates. If you have a minute, go ahead and take our partner survey. This is a great way for us to learn how to better serve you here at Compassion Radio. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, I'd like to ask you to consider three things. First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? You know, sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the exciting reports Bram brings us from the mission field all over the world. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? We are 100% listener-supported, so your gifts make it possible for us to continue. Now today when you give, we'll send you a copy of the Psalms and Color Coloring Book, a beautifully illustrated book that contains more than 60 pages filled with gorgeous drawings for you to color, along with bookmarks and gift tags all centered around the Psalms from the Bible. There are also blank pages for you to color and write down what God is saying to you through His Word. The Psalms and Color Coloring Book is the perfect gift for the person in your life who enjoys expressing their love for God through drawing and coloring. Kids 10 and older, adults and seniors alike will love this wonderful coloring book. And we'd love to send you a copy of it today as our way of saying thanks for your financial gift to Compassion Radio. Call us right now at 800-868-2478 or visit CompassionRadio.com on your computer, tablet, or smartphone. When you're there, just click the donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We appreciate you. And please be sure to come back again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Radio Ministries and your generous financial support.